Okay, we're continuing in Shaivavim. I decided basically not to give a shmooze tonight. Sorry to disappoint the Eilim. But we're hitting an interesting topic. It could be by next week it'll already be a shmooze. But I want to discuss the inyan of Shmir Seinayim. So Shmir Seinayim as a shmooze is a hard topic. But I'd like to discuss something that's very, very yesodistic. And I don't know why it's not discussed. And it's not going to be a shmooze. We're just going to give a sheer klali a little bit over here. The question is like this. What is this concept, shmiras einayim, guarding your eyes? Lamaisa, we're always talking about the damage that's done to your eyes, and that's, you go on the street, etc., etc. What is even the word shomer einayim, guarding your eyes? I would just say guard your sight, you know, but it's known as shomer einayim, guard your eyes. I think there's a major problem that we have with this sugya. And that is, lamashal, you give a guy some sort of widget or whatever it is, you're not even sure what it is, he says, guard it with your life. Looks at the thing, it looks like, mamash, a garnishment, garnish, nothing. He's holding it, he's taking care of it. After a few days, he's going to lose the thing. The guy has no idea what you gave him, b'chlah. You give somebody a Vanderbilt diamond, and you know, if it's not one of those things that comes in a cereal box, the real deal, and you can prove it to him, he's going to be a nervous wreck all day guarding that thing. Why? Because he understands what he's guarding. A person can't guard something unless they know the value of what they're guarding. It's a very simple concept. I remember one time when I was a bucher, I had to go in Midtown Manhattan and deliver a check that was many, many zeros, Rav Osai. Not $100,000, another zero or two. And I'm like, you know, I felt like a winner. I didn't care that a check can't be cash, but I'm like, you know, that's guarding something. You know what you're carrying. You know what you're doing. So what does it mean to be Shomer Einayim? So I'd like to discuss what eyes are. Funny kind of thing to do. I'm a wacky guy. I like to do wacky things. What in the world are eyes? So you say, well, you see with them, Rabbi, shkayach. And then I wouldn't have a shmooze to say. Be out of a job. But there is something fascinating about eyes. A lot of fascinating things. First of all, eyes are from the most complex parts of the body. There's a sefer with a haskama from Rav Moshe Feinstein that took seven letters from Apikorsen. I'm not going to tell you which Apikorsen, but one of the very, very famous guys who was responsible for saying that we come from who knows where. We're not going to say from in a base medrash. And he writes in a letter to his friend, this sefer has a haskama from Rav Moshe, a brilliant idea. Mineu bei in the ksavim of these apikorsim, they find chizuk in emuna. It's a strange idea, but it's geschmack. And over there, this fellow, his name starts with a D, he says, when I think about the human eye, I begin to shudder, to quake from the foolishness of everything that I've been working on. The eye is a fascinating thing. It's got an automatic focus. It sees all around. It's something that's literally the most complex thing that we have in front of us. And the eye comes in colors also, which is very interesting. This whole color thing. You got blue eyes, you got brown eyes, you got green eyes. It's the only type of part of the body that doesn't come as a standard. Of course, people have very big noses and smaller noses and very big ears and smaller ears. But it doesn't come like, you know, in a color set like that, that people in a family could come in blue and green and in brown or whatever it is. Something unique going on by the eye. And then there's something even more profound, and perhaps I was thinking about this one day this year, and I was overwhelmed by the profundity of this idea. Nice word, right? Profundity. It is a word. You can check it out. I think. It's been a while. But eyes have something that goes against, I never wrote a doctorate on this, but I'm telling you a big statement. Eyes have something that go against the grain of every part of the human body. Every part of the human body functions in nature in a way that's most practical. Most practical. Right? The hands, They have these fingernails at the end, perfect for opening up a Coke, scratching something, climbing. Toes also, right? The head, which is the most important part, is very, very hard. Very important stuff inside. Every part of the body, nose hairs for filtration. You're not going to stump me here, guys. You're not going to stump me. And on the parts of the body that science has not found a reason for them, they're working and working because they understand the foolish premise from their perspective that every part of the body has a reason for being there. And if we didn't find it, it doesn't make sense and we have to work harder. Why they think that? Because they a Gaiusha cup. They didn't figure it out that somebody made the body. But they know that everything has a purpose. But there's something incredibly impractical about the eye. And that is, it's true when you're cutting onions and in general the lubrication of your eyes, the tear ducts are very useful. However, in an emotional state, tears become blinding, they sting, and the bechlal no shaychus to the outside world, to whatever's going on in nature, in survival. It's a pure emotional expression. This is an amazing thing to someone who thinks about it. It's the only non-scientific part of the body. It comes from a regesh, from an emotional experience, and it makes you erect. It's totally impractical, right? Last time, if anyone has a pet dog, you know, they don't like, oh, I can't, it's terrible, I can't move on. It doesn't happen. Maybe their eyes water, but they don't become like that. Like, get a hold of yourself, get him some Kleenex. The eye has a zeyah, has a sweat of the neshama. A yitziah of mamish, a davar ruchni, so much so that we find in the Svarim, the Mata Ephraim, for example, in Hilchos Yamim Noraim, says that when you're davening during the Yamim Noraim and you're having a little bit of a hergesh of tshuva, you should take from your tears and put them on your forehead, because it has a certain way of purifying you. The Ma'ari Asad Zatzal, he would take in a flask his tears from Tikkun Chatzos, and whenever people would need a refuah, he would offer them a tear to eat in order to have a refuah. Literally a part of your body that we know about, but it's a yitziah of a davar ruchni, something much, much more special. The Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah says that when someone wants to do tshuva on Re'iyas Asuras, he says you should, through tears, it's a shviras hakeli. We know that anything that's tameh, a kli that's tameh, if you smash it, so then it becomes tar again. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva that when a person cries, they're breaking their eyes. And I understand perfectly why. It's totally impractical to cry. Why is it happening? Why are all these nakudas by the eyes? Because the eyes are the access of the neshama. The einayim are the most kaddish part of a person. The metzias of his neshama, b'chvoidai uva'atmai. And we listen, and there's also an akuda of when you daven, that you want not just Hashem to hear you, but to see the tears on your face. Like we say, Koli Shema Ure'ei Dema'ini. There's a certain bechina, the Gemara in Bracha says, when a person davens, Afilu Cherev Munach Al Tavaroi, it brings a pasuk that you should see the tears on my face. There's a histaklus of ruchnius when somebody is crying. And to me, this is fascinating. I didn't see it in, you know, any science journals or anything like that. But it's an unbelievable thing. What's going on over here with the Einayim? What exactly is happening? Let's go further. The eyes have an ability to see not just physical things. Eyes are capable of seeing things that are ruchni. The Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu went all the way to go to Akedas Yitzchak, he said to Eliezer and Yishmael, he says, do you see over there, and to his son Yitzchak, do you see over there the cloud over the mountain? He said, no. Yitzchak saw. They didn't see. He says, Shvu po machamor, stay with the physical people. You can't see what I see? Get out of here. By us, we check people by what they can see. And Avraham weeded them away, out from the Akeda, from being there, because they didn't have the ability to see something that was ruchni, that was spiritual. There's an amazing story that's brought in Shivchei Arizal, when the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, who was the biggest makubal of the time before the Arizal, at his Levaya, the Arizal saw a pillar of fire escorting the Ramak. The unusual thing about the stories about the Arizal were they were written in his lifetime. And a lot of stories that have legend-type proportion are written hundreds of years later, or at least 100 years later. The stories of the Ari were documented during his lifetime. Fascinating difference between all the stories about him and anyone else. And the Arizal's watching this, and no one else saw the fire. And suddenly there was a young boy, and he saw, look, fire. The Arizal says, you're going to become my Talmud. You could see this, you're going to be my Talmud. It's an interesting way how he lost that opportunity. We're not going to get into that now. But the Koyach HaRi'iyah, the ability to see, there's even a modern day example of this. I don't know, Lamaisa, that it was hard to see. At the Leshem's, Rav Eliashiv's grandfather, who was the great Mekubal, the Chazon Ish says, the last of the Mechadshim of Kabbalah that ever will be, until Mashiach comes. At the Leshem's Levaya, it's brought down in the Rav Eliashiv biography, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook screamed out, is there anyone in the generation who could be Roy for the pillar of fire that escorts the greats of the generation other than the Leshem? And they said that as they were doing the Kfura, a bow of fire stayed on Har HaZesim until they finished the Kfura. A certain Metzias of Kedusha. But a Nayim that can see this, Rabosai, actually see this. There's Rav Volba Zatzal, when he was a Bacher. He wanted to go see Rav Baruch Ber. So they warned him, they said, if you go to Rav Baruch Ber, you got to go to the mikveh first. Him and his friends went. Other Bacher said, I'm not going to the mikveh. What do I need to go to the mikveh? I'm going to triach myself. We'll both go to Rav Baruch Ber, and Kamenetz's life is good. Fine. Rav Volba, who was a good Bacher, he went to the mikveh like people told him. And they're going to take a Shabbos to Rav Baruch Ber. And Rav Volba comes in, who is a Bacher, and says, Shalom Aleichem. Rav Baruch Ber is good. How are you doing? Where are you from? And the other guy comes. Okay, maybe it was just a rough night. Maybe let's try tomorrow. Shabbos day, same thing happens. Rav Volba again. Oh, you're back again. Great. He learned his lesson, Rabosai. Ravisser Zalman Meltzer, Zatzal. I love Litvish stories that sound Chassidish, as you can see. I'm not going to quote anything Chassidish. Ravisser Zalman Meltzer said, it's made Dvarim HaKalim Lo. It's from easy things for him to look at a dish and tell you if it was toveled in a mikvah properly or not. Made Dvarim HaKalim, from the easy things for him. A certain Kedusha of Enayim. And there's another story that was heard by someone who was under a bed in Rav Baruch Ber's house. Rav Baruch Ber, when a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim would come, he would clear everyone out of the house and he would ask them stories about the Chafetz Chaim. And he says, the Chafetz Chaim used to tell us on Erev Shabbos a story. This is what this man told Rav Baruch Ber. He says, he used to tell us Sipure Tzadikim. He said, his Rebbe Rav Nachumka, the Rebbe Rav Nachumka, he would always leave the Beis Medrash and he would go in the middle of the night into the main shul of town, lock himself in there, and nobody knew what he did. The little Chafetz Chaim. He was a young boy. I think he was perhaps 15 years old. He decides he's going to figure out what his Rebbe's doing over there. So the Chafetz Chaim, after Maariv in the shul, he hid in the Ezra's Nashim, the Shamash looked, everyone's gone, locks it up, waits for his Rebbe Rav Nachumka to come in. Rav Nachumka comes in at a certain point in the night, gets to the bima, opens up a certain sefer, and the Chafetz Chaim, the little Chafetz Chaim, is watching. And suddenly he sees a fire surrounding his Rebbe, Rav Nachumka. He's about to scream, fire. And he noticed the fire is going in circles, and nothing's getting burnt. So that was the Maisa, beautiful Maisa, Chizach, Mechulei. Rav Baruch Ber told this guy, and this is the clincher of Osa. He says, this story is not about Rav Nachumka. He says, every Talmud Chacham has a fire around them when they learn. He says, this story is about the Chafetz Chaim, that he had the Kedushas Einayim at 15 years old to see that type of fire. In a closed room with Rav Baruch Ber, this is how they speak. Everybody has that fire. But the Chafetz Chaim at 15 years old was able to see this. And the Nakuda of Einayim is that Einayim not only have the ability to go into a new place, but they have the ability to attach. Whatever they see, they attach themselves to. Listen to a Tshuvas Radbaz. The Tshuvas Radbaz says that when you see your Rebbe, this is not necessarily a Rebbe, your Rebbe. Could be your morning Seder Rebbe, could be your afternoon Seder Rebbe, with a Bekesha, without a Bekesha. He says the following thing: when you gaze at your Rebbe, you get a new neshama. You will see your Rebbeim. A lot of times you want to get a good glimpse at someone. You don't even realize why. It's not just because you're a tourist, or because just like when you go to a sports game, you want to get a good view. When you see a tzaddik and you connect with them, the Radbaz says you're actually being mechaber to his neshama, and you're getting an aliyah of your neshama. Why? Because you're connected to him. Whatever you see, you're mechaber yourself to. And we see this in halacha. There's a fascinating halacha, one of my favorite halachas in Kachim, and for the Megillah guys, they saw it there. It pops up in Megillah. There's a fascinating halacha. We know that when you eat Kachim, you've got to either be in the Azara for Kachim Kachim, or you've got to be in Yerushalayim for Kachim Kalim. However, when you were in Shiloh, in the old days, in Shiloh, in the Mishkan Shiloh, there was a fascinating idea of where you were allowed to eat kachim. You know what the halacha was? The halacha was that if you could see Shiloh, wherever you were, if you could see Shiloh, you were in a place you could eat kachim. What does that mean? What does it mean if you see Shiloh, so the halacha is you could eat that? That's the halacha. That's the halacha. The pshat is that when a mensch sees something, he's there. He's living over there. The koyach of einayim is not just to see, it's to become something. Whatever you see, you turn into. And there's a very scary example of this in the Ramban. The Ramban says in Parshas Vayera, we always have this story from kindergarten about Lot's wife. She's not supposed to look back. And she's, you know, whatever it is, she looks back. She becomes a pillar of salt. What is this? What's going on? Why is she turning into salt? Maybe she should turn into a frog. Maybe she should turn into a chicken. Why is she turning into salt? Says the Ramban. He says it's known in the world. Ki haru'us ba'avir adavar b'chol ha'chaloyim anidbakim yazik ma'od v'yadbikam. When you see something that's dangerous or sickly, it connects to you. And thinking about them. And he says, Lachain Haisa Ishtai Shalot Nitziv Malach. She turned into salt. Why? Ki ba'asa ha'maka b'machshava kasherosa gafris v'melach. When she saw the salt falling from Shemayim, the gafris v'melach, dovkaba, she became attached to it. And I once heard from Rav Don Segel, who was Moisif, she became stoim. Stoim was turning into salt. You are what you see. When a person sees something, it's not just technically like a Kodak camera. It's pashat, a davar ruchni, that they become shayach to that thing. Whatever you see, you identify with. Chazal tell us, ayin roya v'lev chaymed. The eye sees and the heart desires. What this means is the following. And unfortunately, anyone who is a little bit introspective will know exactly what I'm talking about. Desires are not created by the heart. Even though the heart's the trouble place, that's where all the blood is, and the Yetzer Hara lives over there, I have news for you. You know where all taivas are found? Things you see turn into things tomorrow that you want. And we know good Jewish boys who never dreamed of certain taivas, as soon as they saw them once, aha! I didn't think about that one. Well, you will in morning Seder, because you connected to it. Ayin roya, when an eye sees, the lev is chaymed, because you are there. You become that metzias. You become davuk, totally shayach to that metzias. And the Kli Yoker says that in Ruchnias this works by Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, but he got to see Eretz Yisrael. It was like, the booby prize. Shkayach, he got to see the Eretz Yisrael. No. Says the Kli Yoker, he got everything he wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu had two requests, says the Kli Yoker. He had a request for Klal Yisrael, which was Ebrana. I want to conquest, be part of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the Gashmias. And over there he says, please to Hashem, he says, Ebrana, please, because you have to ask for please. When you ask for Gashmias, you have to ask please, because it's not Magia Lecha. That's one thing. But then he says another thing. And I will see the land, says the Kli Yakar. He was asking for himself. He goes, for my Ruchnias, I don't need to go to Eretz Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael, it would be good if I went. I just need to see Eretz Yisrael. And says the Kli Yakar, his tefillahs were answered for this part. He's Medayik in the Psukim. The only part that wasn't answered was his, what he asked for Klal Yisrael. But he says when he saw Eretz Yisrael, he was there with every part of his existence. He got everything he needed from Eretz Yisrael. When you see something, you become that metzias. You're living over there. And that's why Asuma, a blind man, is a dead man. He's dead. He's called a mace. Because he can't attach to anything. Life is about getting into things. When you're Asuma, when you're blind, it's not just terribly impractical, lo aleinu. It's an inability to attach, to experience something the way it should be experienced. To have a shaychus with something, to be connected with something. We have by Tzipisa Yeshua, a pella. How many times do we talk about eyes when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, right? Mimkomcha. Veineinu sirena malchusecha, our eyes should see. Visechazena in davening. Visechazena eineinu, our eyes should see. Ayin ba'ayin yir Elokim. Everything I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. You know how many times you ask to see things that are having to do with the Beis HaMikdash, that are having to do with the future? You know why? Because there's a taiva to connect. We don't want to just have it happen. We want to see it. Because when you see something, you become totally connected with that metzias. It takes over. It takes over everything you're about. And Lamaisa, this is true in the bad way also, as we know. I was once in Atlanta for Shabbos. It was a rough situation over there. I got put in a room. I was supposed to be at some Kiruv thing. I got put in a room with people with like bald heads and very bumpy bodies. They were like football player guys, very scary guys. I was in the room with them. I quickly changed my room, but I had to be in them for 15 minutes. I davened that I shouldn't get hurt. I obviously didn't go back to Atlanta for this experience, but it happened one shot. So I'm sitting with them, and they're trying to, you know, poke at me and see, you know, I look like a caveman. I was a bucker at the time, but still looked like a caveman, trying to figure me out. And they asked me if I watch movies. I watch movies. I'm like, oh, boy. How are we going to get out of here? But I said, no, I don't watch movies. They said, why? So, okay, this is an interesting challenge. To people who don't know Aleph Beis, you know. I said, listen, let me ask you a question. I said, when you go to a movie, do you ever leave in a bad mood? It ends sad, somebody dies, whatever. They say, yeah. I said, why? These actors are being paid millions of dollars. Right after they finished the scene, they partied in Hollywood. They were going wild about this. They played the movie, and then they got drunk, and they're okay. All these people, and it's really okay. Why are you upset? You ever laugh like crazy in a movie for something that happened? It didn't happen to you. I said, I like experiencing life, things that happen to me. I'm not interested in laughing about what other people laugh about or crying about what other people cry about. I want to have my own experiences. And there's a tremendous yisayit over here. When somebody watches something, it's impossible for them not to turn into that thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they have this very nice wife. She's so good. She's always good to her husband. The only problem is she's incredibly overweight. Oh, boom, 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 boom. Right? But she's a good lady. She's a good person. And then there's this cleaning lady. She's not a good person, Rabbi Osler. But everyone's in this is cheering on this guy. Loser. Lose her. What happened over here? Ish is ish. While you're there, you are that guy. You are living as that guy. It's impossible not to, or else it won't be enjoyable. It's impossible. Why does it have to be on such a big screen? You know why? Because you have to feel like you're surround sound, man. Woo, where's it coming from? Feels like you're there. Pshat is that we're entering another metzias with our einayim. And these einayim have the ability to see incredible things. They're a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam that are a dover, ruchni, mamish. But they have a tremendous sensitivity. There's a ritva in Shabbos. I wouldn't believe that this is a ritva. Sometimes it's good to learn also, aside from just reading Musar Sfarim, because I get very interesting Maram Chomos in my travels through Shas. This one is a real crowd pleaser. The Gemara says, in Shabbos on Kuf Nun Tes, Kuf Mem Tes, Gemara says, Al Tifnu El Alilim, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Al Tifnu El Alilim, don't look at these things. So you'd say they're other gods. Rashi doesn't say that. It seems like there's some sort of sculpture. Sculptures. Sculptures. Fine. Says Rashi, what's their problem? Rashi says they're made by man. Who cares if they're made by man? What's the scary thing about being made by man? You're not allowed to gaze at these things. So the Ritva says of Pshat and Rashi. Not Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat is that it's Avodah Zarah. Don't gaze at Avodah Zarah. Says the Ritva on Kuf Mem Tes in Shabbos. Perish Rashi Elilim Lashon Chalol. It comes from the heart. Al Tistaklu L'Masha Asu Yadchem. V'yotza Mechalol Libchem. Don't look at your own creations. She'ein Roy L'Stakel El B'maisa Hashem Yisbarach. A person should look at nature, which will remind them of Hashem. Al tisfanu lahavalim v'mifanim zikaron shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ritva, a big chumrah over here. But lefi what we're saying, it's not a vart in histaklus. He says, don't always be involved in what you made, in what you did, because you're going to be attached to a world that has nothing to do with Hashem. Go out, see the sky, look at the trees, look at the beautiful world. Al tifnu el alilim, whatever you see, you'll become. Obviously not saying to mamish, it's usher to look at an MP3 player because it's made by man. What it's saying is whatever you see will become your metzias. And the Sfasemes says in Vayakel, he says on the Pasuk, Se'u einechem ura'u mi bara eleh. Literally translated, look up and see who created these things. Says the Sfasemes, oh no. He says there are two ways to look in the world. There are people who are looking down here like everything's a National Geographic. They're looking at everybody like they're some sort of National Geographic. That's how they see things. Says the Sfasemes, su'u einechem marum. Have elevated types of re'iyah, of looking. Raise your eyes. Elevate them. Ura'u mi bara elen. Start seeing things that are real in the world. Real. Real. And he says it on the Pasuk also, Tsena ura'ena. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Go out and see. He says, go out of yourself and see something, finally. Stop using these eyes to see only down here. These eyes are the window to everything you would want. Every real experience. Even Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Rabosai. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. How did Moshe Rabbeinu start becoming sensitive to Klal Yisrael? State in Rashi, Nason Ein of Bahem. Ein of Velibo. He placed his eyes on Klal Yisrael. There are certain people, they may not be able to see a fire around everybody, but I want you to know, if they're not watching inappropriate things, they might be able to be noticing that a friend's in trouble. They might have the Kedushas Einayim that they could see that someone's in need, but the guy whose eyes are National Geographic only looks at himself in the mirror all the time. How is he relevant to me? How is this shayach to me? It's not about becoming a spooky story. Those stories are about the highest level of this. But every yeshiva bacher has a certain Kedusha. There's so much to see. I don't go to Rebbe Shetish's, but when I do Rebbe Osai, I just stare at the Rebbe. And it's a tainug. I can't explain the enjoyment of seeing a rabbi. I just went with Rosh Shiva to the Biyana Rebbe. It was a tainug to look at him. It was an absolute tainug. Similar to what other people find enjoyable of seeing other things, it was enjoyable to see the Rebbe. There's so much to see in Yerushalayim. I was by a certain man that I really believe is from the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. A certain Tzadik Nistar. And I was in his house, And we're sitting and talking, and his face was very, like, plain, whatever. All of a sudden, he gets a phone call. I kid you not. He gets a phone call from his chavrusa. And he wants to tell his chavrusa. And I'm just sitting there spacing out, but I'm looking at him a little bit. He wants to tell his chavrusa that he found a yefei einayim, they were mechaving to Akasha. He found it in the back of the Gemara. All of a sudden, I didn't know what hit me. He's on the phone. His face had a blinding light come out of it. I never saw anything like that. It was mamish from otherworldly. A second ago, he was just schmoozing me. Unbelievable. A Rosh Chabura of mine. I remember it as Bris. I was watching him. He was sitting and eating something, and an Adam Gadol came to handle with him about what he said at the Bris, which was a very high-level Chabura. And all of a sudden, the same thing. Whoosh. I don't know if anyone else saw it. But that's what to see, Rabosai. That's what's to see in the world. There's a kedusha to the einayim of Klal Yisrael, Rabosai. These are a gift. There's a metzias of su'u einechem uru'u mi bara eile. And they have to be treated with care. They're diamonds. When a person's going with this thing, with these einayim, there are things that all you have to do is guard these things, and they will take you everywhere. There's so many areas that don't make sense. Shinoi makom, halachas, if you can see the place where you were eating, okay, I'm not getting into the pratim over here. Halachically, you're still there. Hagba, when you see the Torah, the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's already brought in the Paiskim, you don't just see the Sefer Torah goes inside of you. When you look at the Sefer Torah during Hagba, it goes inside of you. And I don't think this is talked about enough. I think we're too much on guard, but we don't know what we have. We have Hergeshim over here. We have a window into Neshama. Colors, complexity, Ruchnius. And it's all going to be our perspective on life. Whatever we see is what we are. It says in Parsha Shlach, Araya, how do I know that eyes are perspective? V'hoyu b'eneim kichagavim. We were in their eyes like grasshoppers. V'chein hayu b'eneinu. You think they were just like taking a selfie of themselves to see if they were like grasshoppers? They're looking at themselves. That was their perspective. Einayim is how you look at the world. And it's not a borrowed term. However you're seeing is what you are. And when a person watches what they see, they become much calmer. And when a person doesn't watch what they see, they have wild imaginations. They have things that are taking them, why did I have to see that? I never even thought of that being a taiva of mine. Well, sorry, folks. We should be zeicha to be shomer einayim and be margish the kedusha of our einayim. Yeah, we got to Yosef.